Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, who was, who is, and who is to come. Amen. Our text today is not one of the readings, but from 1 Peter chapter 2. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them to fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord. Can you imagine what life must have been like 500 years ago on October 30th, 1516? Think back a little bit. The United States wasn't. Columbus had just come a few years before and discovered this land that was inhabited by a lot of people. And some things happened over the next 500 years to bring us to the point where we are today. Come, Lord Jesus. And yet, it was in those little German towns, especially Wittenberg, where there was this young monk who was struggling with what's going on in the church. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And he began to look through the scriptures more and more, not in that year, but in the years leading up to it. And that was the beginning of what we call Reformation. Now, that had actually happened almost 100 years earlier with another man by the name of Jan Hus. Now, those of you who remember your history from school might have heard that name. Anybody remember that name for anything? Yeah, some of us who went to Lutheran schools or whatever. But you know what happened to Jan Hus when he said basically the same things that Luther said? They burned him at the stake. And that whole movement of reforming in the church was put on hold for quite a long time until that monk, I just saw a picture of a pastor who was going to have his head shaved like Luther and put on a little thing. He was going to come into church today looking like Luther. I would not try that. When he nailed those 95 theses on the castle church door in Wittenberg, some of you have been there, right? You've seen that. And things began to happen. And there were some watchwords along the way about the Reformation, and probably those of us who went through our synod's system had it pounded into our heads. The watchwords of the Reformation are these: sola fide, sola scriptura, sola gratia. And all of you were looking, what is that? That's because you didn't probably have a classical education like we did. But those were the watchwords for the Reformation. And they are: sola fide is by faith alone, sola scriptura, through the scriptures alone, sola gratia, by grace alone. That's how we're saved. By grace through faith in Christ Jesus, who was revealed to us in the scripture. But there was a fourth principle too. And that's the one that I'd like to focus with you on today, because it's about you. From the youngest child to the oldest person. From the time we take our first breath in this earth until we take our last breath and join the eternal kingdom of God. And it's called the universal priesthood of all believers. That's why today is not only reformation at Trinity, but it's reformation. How do we reform our congregation to be about what God had intended for us to do? But not only just the congregation corporately, but how about you? Because in reality, the scriptures teach us that God has made you a priest. And what does that mean? A priest is one who is a servant of God. And so when we talk about the universal priesthood of all believers, in reality, he's talking about your service in the kingdom of God to a God who has served you and offered to you forgiveness, life, and salvation. Now, for most of us, we probably look at that and say, okay, I know Jesus died for me, and I believe that. But it's one thing to believe what Jesus has done for us. It's a totally separate thing, in a way, as to how we respond to what God has done for us. We can sit back and say, oh, that's pretty neat. I'm saved. But if we're saved, what are we done? We're saved to serve. That's what a priest does. And the scriptures, right from the very beginning, teach us all about that. If you go back into Exodus chapter 19, it says this to us. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be mine for a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Way back at the base of Mount Sinai, God is saying to the people of Israel who have been brought out of captivity, hey, you've been brought out to serve, to be a people of God, to be a holy nation, to be a priest. And can you imagine what those people at the base of Mount Sinai were kind of probably thinking? Why did Moses take us out here? This is tough work. And yet, God was with them. It took them a little while to get them to the promised land. But why? Because they were an ordinary people. Now, I'm not saying that you're an ordinary people. Although, sometimes you are. And so am I. But in the midst of that, we have God who is refocusing our life and turning us in a direction that he would have us go. And he says to us, that a time will come when you shall be called the priests of the Lord. They shall speak to you as the ministers of God. That's the prophet Isaiah. Have you ever seen yourself as that? Do you see yourself as a priest of the Lord, a messenger of God, a servant of God? Because that's what you've been ordained to be. Not in the same sense Pastor Dwyer and I have been ordained, but in the sense that in your baptism, you've been called to serve. You've been reformed, ordained a priest in your baptism, and called a servant of God. Perhaps the most faithful of all people is that infant child, most trusting of everyone. That child implicitly trusts whom? Mom and Dad. Well, at least Mom. Right, let's get real. But in the end, that journey that begins in the waters of baptism guides and directs us throughout our life. And what do? We are like the people of Israel with that sometimes, right? We kind of go on our own way. We don't want to do it our way. And yet God remains with us through that journey. And he challenges us as the universal priesthood of all believers to use the individual gifts and talents that the Spirit of God bestows upon each and every one of us to carry out the mission and ministry of his church. So that's the reformation that we're talking about today. And as I look around here, some of you I know, some of you I don't know very well. But I do know one thing about all of you. You all have individual gifts and graces. And I believe you're all here for a reason today. You have a faith, right? A faith that trusts in the Lord. And sometimes we sit back and we wonder, what's this really all about? God, show me, reveal to me what it's all about. Or I'm not quite sure about that. And that's the work of the church, to be building up one another in the body of Christ, in the bond of hope that we have in him. And so God says to us, each one of us, think about your gift or gifts. That's the hope of the church for the future. We can sit back and we can say, hey, it's not what it used to be. We don't have as many kids as we used to have. True statement? True statement. Does that make us any less viable? Does that make the church any less powerful? No, but it gives the church a greater challenge. One of the great things that we struggle with in this society in which you and I live, and I'm sure that was not unusual at the time of Luther even, is how do we as the people of God gather together to serve? Got so many other things happening, right? So many other things to do. Well, I just can't make it this week. I got to go here, there, or everywhere. Does that ever enter your hearts or your minds? Sure it does. And that's why it's a time for a reformation in our church. For each of you as individuals to consider in response to what God has done for us and living out that grace and faith and the scriptures that we have of how you and I and corporately together we can be the church of Jesus Christ. See, because the church doesn't necessarily mean that we're here. The church gathers, yes. But do you stop being church when you leave these doors today? Maybe we do sometimes. But then we've missed what it means to be church. We gather to be strengthened through word, through sacrament, through the fellowship that we have, to be scattered into a world that needs to hear about grace and faith and to see the church in action through each one of us. They need to see the light of Christ shining through us. And so we need to be that church, individually and corporately, to serve a Lord who has first served us. That's why I think today no one should go out the back door, whatever you call that, the front door or the back door today. I might just stand back there and say, nope, only that way. You know, you don't want to go through me. Because you have an opportunity today to consider again how to use your gifts and talents. See, one of the problems in the church, and I'm not just saying this of Trinity, but one of the problems in the church in general is that in congregations, too few people do too many things. But there are so many things to be done. But we need each one of you to be a part of that. That's what it means to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And in our multi-purpose room back there, you're going to see today all the different opportunities that you have to serve. And maybe you've been an usher for 58 years. Thank you. But some of you, we need you to be ushers. We have got no ushers on Saturday nights. We're pleading, someone please take the offering. Our one usher, what happened? His wife died this week. He's been away for a while. We need people to count money. We need people to teach Sunday school. We need people to work in confirmation, sponsors for our young people. We need people who are willing to read the lessons. We need people who are willing to work on the altar. We need people who are willing to use your individual gifts and graces to make a difference. We need council members. We need board members. We need all those kinds of things because that's what makes the ministry move forward. It's not simply what the pastors do. It's being priests. It's living out our baptismal covenant that God has given to us. I found a really interesting little quote from Luther. When Luther referred to the priesthood of all believers, he was maintaining that the plowboy and the milkmaid could do priestly work. In the context of the life that Luther was leading, plowboys and milkmaids, that was a great profession. It was some of the only professions, by the way. But he was saying they could do priestly work. It's not set aside for those of us that have this yoke around our necks. It's not set aside for the teachers who teach in our school. It's set aside for the body of Christ, for each one of you. And so today, I'm going to challenge you to reform yourself. But it's only done by the work of the Holy Spirit, who lives and breathes and works in you because of how precious you are to Him. What do we say? We can't believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, or come to Him except by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that Spirit dwells in you from the time of your baptism each and every day. Sometimes we push Him away. But there's four things I'd like you to really reform in your lives. One is to make a commitment that you'll worship regularly. Gather together with the family. Not just when it's convenient, but live out what the Scriptures teach us to remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Set it apart. The Sabbath day can be Saturday night. The Sabbath day can be Sunday. During Advent, the Sabbath is Wednesday too. But make that commitment in your life to say, this is where I belong. This is where I get fed. This is where I rub shoulders with people. This is where I'm empowered to go from this place to be the church, to be a priest. Two, use those individual gifts and talents. On each of those little banners all around the church today shows you just a few of the things that we have that need to be addressed. You're the ones who need to address that. Use your gifts and talents not for your own self-aggrandizement, but for the building up of the body of Christ. That's what it means to be the church. Three, study the Word of God. Whether you do it individually at home, reading your scriptures, you do it in a small group, you do it in corporate Bible study, you use the new Reformation for the 2 years to read the whole scriptures that you can get on LutheranTools.org. Whatever be in that word. But the glory of getting together is to have a greater understanding. The scriptures teach us the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our paths. It leads us in our journey of faith and life in the midst of the world. And fourth, be sacrificial in your giving. Doesn't God deserve the first fruits from us? Not the leftovers. I like leftovers, by the way. But in terms of our giving to a God, giving of our time, giving of our talents, sacrificial giving of the abundance of blessings that God has given to us, in order that we can do more and more in the lives of His people. How much did you come into this world with? Nothing. What can you take with you? Nothing. Because Christ paid the price for all. And so if we as the people of God can be reformed on this day, we as the church can be reformed, then we will have the essence of what Reformation is about. Living by faith, being in the Scriptures, knowing that it's through grace that we're saved, not of our own works, and being very serious about being a priest for God in this world. May His Spirit work in each and every one of us to that end. and to his glory. Amen. May the peace of God then, which passes our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in that faith unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise to confess our faith in the words of the Apostles.